are now tuned in to the GM's Desk Podcast. Welcome to the GM's Desk Podcast. I'm your host, Jared Stokes, and I'm here with my co-host, AJ Kelly. AJ, say what's up to the pod, man.
What up, guys? It's AJ here. I'm going to be your co-host. So a little bit about me. I've always loved football. I've always wanted to play football and work in football. Once I realized that playing in football wasn't a realistic goal, I kind of transitioned to wanting to work in football. And that's part of the reason we started this podcast, just talking about something we love and trying to get into the industry. So that's why I'm here with my boy, Jared.
Yeah, same for me. I started playing high school football in my senior year, and we weren't the best team, but I realized how much I love being around the game. So after graduating, I immediately got into coaching and learning more about offense and defensive schemes. And fast forward a couple of years, I enlisted in the military and served a tour in Korea, and now I'm in California with a dollar and a dream to get to the next level of scouting and general management. And I met my guy here, AJ, at the NFL Combine at a sports management conference, just learning about the ins and outs of the game and getting just connecting with people. And once we were there, we were just like, yo, let's start a podcast. And now we're here. So now that we laid all that out with the great intros, let's start with the podcast rules. This is an everything football podcast from NCAA to NFL. We are tracking all prospects and pro players on this. And on this episode, we'll be analyzing the NFL draft division by division. We'll start with the NFC North and grade each team's draft. I just got back from the NFL draft in Green Bay, and I'll let you guys know right now, that was my first time in Green Bay ever, and I love the experience. It's a football town, and if you eat, sleep, anything football, that's where you got to go. I recommend going to the draft anywhere, and I recommend even going to Indianapolis for the combine. But after all that, let's get straight into it with the Chicago Bears. Now, with the first pick in the first round, for the Chicago Bears, I didn't think they would go this route, but they ended up picking Colston Loveland out of Michigan. And I understand why they did it. Ashton Gentry went off the board to the Raiders at six, and I honestly thought they would go with TJ Warren. But once I seen Loveland go, I was like, this makes a lot of sense for Ben Johnson, especially because he's out of Michigan. He's a guy that can line up out wide, and he can run block very well. So what did you think about the pick, AJ?
Yeah, no, I was thinking the same thing. I thought – Warren will be the first tight end selected. But overall, I think Loveland is a good fit for this offense. I believe that his versatility plays into what the Bears want to do. They run a lot of 12 personnel. So him and Komet will see the field together. I do like that Loveland can line up in line, in the slot, and even outside at times. So it gives them that versatility that they want a tight end. And I just believe that he's just a complete tight end and he fits the Ben Johnson offense, and I would expect to see him in the Sam LaPorta role.
Yeah, most definitely. And then they went back-to-back offense in the second round and double-dipping got Luther Burden III from Mizzou. I know his numbers dipped last season, but that was all QB play. And if you look at his tape, he's got twitch, he's explosive after the catch, and he has great hands. This is a guy who caught 75% of his balls within 10 yards of the QB. So this is a guy who can literally take it to the house as soon as it touches his hands. And if you're in an offense with DJ Moore and you're in an offense with Romeo Odunze, he doesn't have to do too much. So he's literally going to be the least attentive target from the defensive side of the ball. So I actually really do love this pick for the Bears.
For sure. I definitely agree. He gives them a different look than what they had in Keenan Allen last year. He gives them a lot more speed and agility and short area burst. If you look at his stats from 2023, he forced 27 missed tackles, which led the country. So it just shows that he's able to break tackles, make people miss, and get out of space, which is definitely what the Bears offense needs.
Yeah, for sure. Then the next pick, they went ahead and grabbed Ozzie Trapillo, offensive lineman from Boston College. Probably one of the steals of the draft, in my opinion. You got a 6'8 guy who's patient in his pass sets and only allowed 2 sacks on 700-plus pass snaps. Like, that's elite. And that's day one swing tackle numbers, if you ask me. That's major flexibility, especially alongside Jonah Jackson and Joe Thuney. The Bears are literally trying to build their identity through a brick wall in Chicago.
For sure. I definitely agree. I think that Ozzie is a perfect fit for the Bears. It gives him tackle depth, and he can slide in and start if need be. I do believe that at his size, at 6'8", it gives him a huge tackle and it helps Caleb Williams feel protected, which is the main goal for them getting out of this draft.
And the next pick, they went ahead and selected Shamar Turner out of Texas A&M. Low-key jealous of this pick, but he's a raw, and his versatility is very known. He's played everything within 0 to 7 technique, and he's also put on 20 pounds. So you got a guy who's going to be learning under Grady Jarrett and Montez Sweat on how to play D-line to the highest level. And when you have somebody who has the mindset of being everywhere on the D-line, it's going to be perfect for him. I genuinely am jealous of this pick.
For sure. I think he didn't necessarily have a great statistical season his last year at A&M. When they asked him to put on weight, his sacks dropped from 5.5 to 2. But I believe that it did help him against the run. It helped him shed blocks a little better and stack blocks a little better. So I believe that whether the Bears want him to keep that weight or they want him to drop it, I think that he could be a productive player from any spot on the D-line, whether that's edge, 3-tech, 5-tech. I just believe that he's going to be a productive player in the NFL. He had too much production in college, and he's too talented not to be.
Yeah, most definitely. And then the next pick in the fourth round, they went ahead and selected Reuben Hippolyte II, linebacker out of Maryland. Now, this guy, he's undersized, but he's blazing fast. He clocked a 4.39 40. And I'm not going to lie, this pick was a little bit early for my taste, but if you believe in speed and special teams value, I get it. Especially with him being a rotational linebacker with TJ Edwards and Tremaine Edmonds, I think he's going to become a seasoned linebacker very well under these two guys. Especially because Tremaine Edmonds was in his spot when he got drafted to the Bills. He was very raw coming out of Virginia Tech, so he understands what it takes to become an all-pro linebacker in this league. So I think this is going to be really good for the Bears going forward in the years.
Yeah, I think Hippolyte was a guy who wasn't really on many people's radar until he ran that 40 song. I think that caused a lot of eyes to go back and watch his film. I think that he's a little undersized at only 220 pounds to be a full-time starter from day one. But I do think that that's something that will come with time, learning from guys like Tremaine Edmonds. But I do think as of now, out of the gate, he could be a nickel linebacker or a core special teamer and a good depth piece who can potentially give you rotational snaps in the future.
And then with their next pick, this came a sleeper out of UTSA. You got Zaa Frazier, cornerback. The kid's 6'3", and he runs a 4.36. He has long arms, and he picked off 6 balls last season. He's a zone guy, which is a perfect fit for Dennis Allen's new scheme, which is trying to match the scheme that Vic Fangio had in Chicago. But this is going to be definitely a pick to watch over the season.
Most definitely. Frazier kind of reminds me, as a Seahawks fan, of Tariq Woolen in a way. Both long, rangy corners from UTSA with elite ball skills. I think that they're both also fit for cover three schemes. I think that he is still learning how to flip his hips, especially with his size. So I think that he's better in a cover three scheme where he doesn't necessarily have to turn and cover a lot of time. So I think that giving him some development time would be key, especially with the Bears already having Jalen Johnson and Tyrique Stevenson. But I do believe that he can compete for a starting job sometime soon in the future. Next up, the Bears continue to build in their trenches, and they go left guard Luke Newman from Michigan State. Newman is a tough blue-collar interior lineman who can play guard or center and is pretty strong and has a good anchor against bull rushes. I will say that his athleticism isn't great, which keeps him inside, not outside, and he may be better suited as a backup. But how do you feel about Newman?
I actually like this pick too. He's been a starter all 4 seasons, and he's got the durability and Iron Man type of mindset that you want your lineman to have. Awareness and protection is solid from him, and he can read threats pretty well. I liked how he mirrored one of the top D tackles in his draft, and Mason Graham, showing some quickness, and he's never showed fear against any of the top guys in the Big Ten. I think one thing I noticed is he can get a little bit anxious in pass pro sometimes and reach a little bit, but again, I won't expect nothing more from a rookie but to learn. So when you're coming in learning from guys like Jonah Jackson and Joe Thuney, that stuff is going to probably stop immediately day one, I honestly believe. But again, this is a good pick for them, and it's going to come with time.
For sure, for sure. And last but not least, the Bears selected Kyle Manungai, a running back from Rutgers. He finished last season with 1,279 yards, 13 touchdowns, and averaged 5 yards per carry. He's a physical downhill runner with great vision. He's a very strong pass protector, which is rare to find out of a college back, and he's great in short yardage and in the red zone. So how do you feel about Kyle there? Are you gonna be scared to play against him this upcoming season?
Nah, this is a guy right here that I think he's gonna be a good guy when somebody gets hurt, I believe. He's a short, stocky runner with great balance, nothing crazy athletically, but he's super tough, especially in pass protection. He's out there blocking like he's another old lineman, in my opinion. Solid value at this point in the draft. Honestly, I wouldn't let his 40 time fool you. He ran a 4.6, but when you see him on film at Rutgers and he sees a hole, he bursts through that hole like it's like he's a bullet. He's nothing solid but a north and south runner. And I think that's a solid pick for him later on in the draft. So bottom line, I think Chicago pretty much did a really good job. They addressed their key needs, they protected their quarterback, and they gave him some weapons. There's clear identity forming in Chicago, and I like the direction that they're going in.
For sure. I definitely agree. I know people joke Chicago about being off-season winners, but I do believe they're doing everything they need to do to put a winning to create a winning formula in Chicago. I think that this draft reinforces that. Building the trenches, getting some more weapons, and just building that offense to being to matching the level of play that the defense had last year.
Yeah, for sure. And like, I know I'm gonna hear a lot of Chicago Bears fans, especially from my friends. They're gonna be like, "Oh, you know, you didn't love our draft." But honestly, truly, I like seeing the competition within the NFC North. You know, growing up, seeing all the close Packers and Bears games, especially the one that we had in the NFC Championship and in the playoffs. Like, I like seeing those type of battles. I don't want to see us blowing them out every single year. Even though I do hate them, I do like seeing a good game. So you gotta respect the draft for sure. And now let's shift gears to the Minnesota Vikings in their 2025 class. So their first pick in the first round, at 24th overall, they go Donovan Jackson, guard of Ohio State. And I gotta say, I think this is a solid pick. You look at what they added in free agency; they added Ryan Kelly, Will Fries, and now you bring in Donovan. I think that interior line is starting to look nasty. What do you think?
Yeah, I definitely agree. I think that they recognize that as a weakness after they got blown out by the Rams in the wild card round last season. And I think that they definitely have addressed that. Donovan Jackson comes in as a powerful run blocker with quick feet and strong hands. I think he's going to be an immediate starter for them at either guard position, probably left guard, but either guard position. He also has some tackle versatility. His senior year, he moved out to tackle when fellow first round pick Josh Simmons got hurt for Ohio State. So he can play some tackle as well if needed. But I think that he just completes that interior offensive line trio of the Vikings.
Yeah, and I think also like him being a plug and play guy and being that athletic and super technical as a college guard, you're not asking to be a star, and all you're asking to do is just keep your quarterback upright. That's what matters most. So I think this is a really good pick for the Vikings.
For sure. I mean, if he projects to be the worst starter on your line, I think you're in good shape.
For sure. And then jumping into the next round at pick 102, they grabbed Ty Felton, wide receiver from Maryland. Now this guy's pretty fast. A lot of people might not know his name, but he's got that field stretching ability, and he can work underneath too. He's quick at outside his breaks, and he has sneaky strong hands. It could be really nice compliment to Justin Jefferson and Jordan Addison, especially because they're going to be taking away most of the attention off of him. Because when you're looking at an offense like theirs, and you're playing defense, you're not going to be worried about a rookie named Ty Felton. You're looking at those two guys, so he has an opportunity to really just eat if he just locks in. What do you think about him?
I definitely agree. I think he fits the mold that the Vikings are looking for. I think they like versatility at receiver, guys that can play inside and outside. I think he can do that as well. I do believe that he does have the opportunity to eat, especially because he's going to get a lot of one-on-one situations with defenses worried about Jefferson, Addison, and probably Hockenson before they worry about him. So I think that if he's able to just refine his route running a little bit, that he could potentially be a 700-800 yard guy out of the slot or outside, wherever they play him at.
Definitely.
Next up, the Vikings select Tyrion Ingram Dawkins, defensive tackle from Georgia. Ingram Dawkins is a versatile defender capable of playing multiple positions along the D-line. He's strong against the run, and he does have a little bit of ability to collapse the pocket, but mostly his passing repertoire is pretty limited. So how do you feel about Ingram Dawkins? Do you think he'll make an impact for this Vikings D line?
No, most definitely. Especially with the additions of Jonathan Allen and stuff like that, he's got a great room to learn from. He's got the rare mix of size, strength, and athleticism that makes you think there's a lot of untapped potential there. He flashes a quick get off and could be a solid gap shooter, especially in a four eye role and in odd fronts. That said, he didn't produce that much at Georgia, and he still feels like a bit of a project. But again, when you got guys like Jonathan Allen, who's been a solid starter and with the Commanders, and now he's going to be a solid starter with Washington with the Vikings, I think he's going to be a pretty good pick for them.
For sure.
And then with their next pick in the sixth round, they got back-to-back picks in the sixth round. But the first one, they had Kobe King, linebacker from Penn State, and I think this dude's underrated. He doesn't pop off the screen, but he's always around the ball. And you need guys like this on your roster that can come in and play special teams right away. Maybe not challenge for a rotational spot down the road, but he has a high motor play. He plays with a solid shoulders. And my player comp for him is Blake Martinez. He's not a coverage guy, but he's a guy that can get dirty in the run game, and I like that.
Yeah, for sure. I think sometimes we get intrigued and enamored with the 4-3 linebackers who run these crazy times and our pass coverage freaks. But sometimes I think we forget about guys like Kobe King who are just good old-fashioned run thumpers. And I think that every team needs a guy or a couple guys like that, especially on first and second down, especially if you look at the way the league is trending back to the run. If you look at Saquon Barkley, what he was able to do this season, and Derrick Henry. So I think Kobe King is gonna surprise some people. I think he's gonna get on the field, and I think that he's gonna make plays for this defense, especially more than what people were expecting from him.
All right, and then with their next pick, they had Gavin Bartholomew. This kind of tight end that he has like a real launch pad mindset. He's tough, dependable, and he's willing to do all the gritty stuff. He's super versatile too. He's able to line up as an H-back or even split out wide, which gives the offense coordinators a lot of flexibility. He's not much explosive as an athlete, but he runs hard and has the strength to rack up yards as a catcher. And as a blocker, he shows promise, especially when he's moving downhill. What do you think about him?
Yeah, I definitely agree. I think that Bartholomew is an old school tight end. He's not much of a separator. He's more of a blocker who's willing to fight hard and work hard and maybe catch a few shorter intermediate passes. But I think for Minnesota, I think that's all they need him to be. I don't think they need him to be Superman, especially with TJ Hawkinson there. So if he can slot into that tight end two or tight end three role for them and just block hard and maybe get a catch or two, I think that's all they need from him, really.
So, what's your thoughts on their draft from top to bottom?
Overall, I think Vikings fans may call it a little boring, but I think this is the type of draft that they needed. I think building the trenches, building your depth as a team, and just getting guys that can come in and contribute from day one is just what you need, especially if you want to contend. I think that they took some swings on guys such as Ty Felton, who could become a superstar one day, but they also got solid guys that they know they're getting quality out of, such as Ingram, Dawkins, and King.
Yeah, I don't think this draft was the most sexiest draft ever, but I think it's a smart draft when it comes to team building. You're not winning in January if you can't protect the quarterback or stop the run. And you also gave your rookie quarterback, well, your second year quarterback in JJ McCarthy, a little gem in Ty Felton. So again, I think this is just a really smart draft from Kwesi. And now the next team, the best team on this list, the Green Bay Packers. Now the Packers selected Matthew Golden in the first round. He's a wide receiver out of Texas. And this guy has track. He has track speed. He ran a 4.29 at the combine, and he's a glide runner. He's smooth and explosive, and if he gets even with your cornerback, he's leaving him.
Yeah, I think Golden definitely is going to be a quality contributor for the Packers from day one. I mean, he's the first receiver they drafted in the first round since 2002, and I think that he could end up living up to that hype. He's only 5'11", but he had a 61% contested catch rate in college, which shows that he can go up and get it, which means you can play him outside and feel comfortable with that, as he can go up and get those balls, and he has great body control and agility on the sideline, making toe tap catches as well. So I think that Golden speed and versatility make him an ideal fit for Matt LaFleur's offense, and it provides Jordan Love with a dynamic deep threat And I think it could potentially enhance the team's vertical passing game and give them another deep threat alongside Christian Watson.
Yeah, this definitely that definitely had the people in Green Bay hooting and hollering for this pick for sure. I did not think we was going wide receiver here, but I definitely loved it for sure. And then in round two, they grab Anthony Belton, tackle from NC State. Now this guy, he's 6'6", 328 pounds with 34-inch arms. He's a bit of a project in pass pro, which is fine with me because again, we Green Bay does linemen correctly. We get them later in rounds, but we know how to develop them. But when you talk about him in the run game, yo, this dude's a mauler. And I think him and Matt LaFleur's scheme in the wide zone scheme, he's gonna definitely flourish in this whole offense, and I love it.
No, I definitely agree. I think that Belton brings experience and he brings comfortability playing left tackle, as he was a 3-year starter at NC State, where he didn't allow more than 3 sacks any of those seasons, even though he averaged over 400 pass blocking snaps. I think that he has impressive size and power, and ability. His ability to anchor is top notch, second to none. And I believe that whether he slots in as a starter year one, or as he sits and develops, I believe that he'll be a successful player, especially with the Packers' history of developing top-tier O-linemen such as David Bakhtiari, TJ Lang, Josh Sitton, Brian Bulaga, Zach Tom. I mean, the list goes on and on. So any lineman the Packers take, I trust them.
Yeah, for sure. And then in round three, we got Savion Williams, wide receiver out of TCU. Now, this is another big guy. You got 6'4", 215, and he plays to his size. Now, he does have an open field catch problem, but for some odd reason, when he has two people on him, he's coming down with it. He's definitely a high point catcher, and he's physical after the catch, too. He's a natural red zone threat. He's literally, when somebody's trying to tackle him, he's literally bouncing off of them and taking it another 40 yards. And that's like a Deebo Samuel type of pick to me. We never really had those type of guys in Green Bay at the wide receiver position, but we kind of got like our own version of an Eddie Lacy type of guy at the wide receiver position. These guys are going to be bouncing off of him, and I'm going to love seeing him break tackles for this team. I love it. I really do love this pick.
Yeah, I'll be interested to see how Williams contributes. I think that giving LaFleur a weapon like this is scary because he seems to get the most out of guys, and I think that he'll find a consistent role and consistent usage for Savion Williams, because Williams is the type of guy who, if you just get him the ball and let him work, he'll make something happen no matter where he lines up. And I think that giving LaFleur a guy like that, not to mention the other weapons that are already in Green Bay, just makes that really, really scary. Williams lined up at receiver, running back, tight end, H-back, a little bit of everywhere his last season at TCU. So his versatility and ability to move around gives the Packers a pretty crazy weapon, along with their other solid receivers that they have.
Yeah, I think we had this conversation about him before when we was at the combine. He was telling me like, "Yo, this guy literally looks like Cordarrelle Patterson," and I literally see it now as we're talking about him. As we looked at his film previously, this is definitely a pick that people say that he's going to replace Christian Watson or he's going to replace Romeo Doubs. But if we can keep those guys and still have a way to put him into the offense, no one's guarding us in the league. Nobody is guarding us in the league, so it's going to be a problem for everybody. And I like this.
Agreed.
Now, in the fourth round, they switched it up and they got Baron Sorrell, edge out of Texas. Now, this guy, he was a leader in the locker room at Texas. He's a tone setter, and the Packers needed a rotational depth behind Rashawn Gary and Lucas Van Ness. Now, he doesn't have the most incredible athleticism in the world, but he's going to get the job done. He's very disciplined in the run game. So I think this is going to be a good developmental pick for Jeff as our defensive coordinator.
I agree. I think that Sorrell can come in and contribute from day one if need be, but I think he also can sit back and learn and maybe get a little better. I do think that his lack of bend prevents him from being a Pro Bowl level guy, but I do believe that he can be a rotational guy and give you 4 to 6 sacks a year. And I mean, you can't complain about getting that type of value in the fourth round.
Yeah, for sure. And then in the next round, we get another linebacker, another defensive guy from Oklahoma State. Now, this one was pretty interesting. This guy kind of reminds me a little bit of Edgerrin Cooper, but he started his career as an edge and he converted to off-ball linebacker this past year. And you can see his athleticism. He ran a 4.54 40 and he's 235 pounds. But when you see him, when he's blitzing, Dude, he was like a missile. He's a missile off the line.
Yeah, no, he's definitely a very good player. I think it'll be interesting to see how he's used in Green Bay's scheme, whether that's off the edge, whether that's an off-ball linebacker, whether it's a hybrid position. Maybe it's a, I don't know. We'll see. But I think that pairing him with Edgerrin Cooper gives Green Bay defensive versatility and two guys that are just heat-seeking missiles. And sometimes you just put guys like that on the field and let them figure it out. So I'll be interested to see how the Packers use Oliver, because I definitely do think he could be a weapon for that defense. Next up, the Packers select D tackle out of Georgia, Warren Grinson. Grinson is a strong D tackle at the point of attack who's effective against the run. He's pretty limited rushing the passer, but I think he can be a depth D lineman with potential to contribute in run stopping situations. How do you feel about Grinson?
So quick and to the point here, Brinson at his best, when he's at his best when he's attacking upfield. He's quick and uses his hands well, and he can disrupt both the run game and the pass game. This is just another blue collar worker for the Packers that we definitely needed. Because if you look at that playoff game versus the Eagles, man, I'm telling you, Jalen Hurts could have read the full Bible back there if you let him. So honestly, this is a pick that we needed. And I think honestly, the more D linemen that you're drafting, you're literally setting the foundation for a Super Bowl roster. Same thing with O linemen. You're just setting the foundation for a Super Bowl roster. So I can never get mad at the Packers for drafting either or. And then now round seven. They had two picks in this round. But first, we'll talk about Michael Robinson, cornerback from Tulane. Long, rangy guy. He tested well with the 4.38 40, and he had a 40-inch vertical. He's a zone-heavy guy with great eyes and good ball skills, but he's still developing in man coverage. He also had 11 pass breakups and four interceptions last year. Now, talking about Jeff Hafley, this guy used to be a cornerback coach for the 49ers. So I think you're looking at this guy right now, how raw he is. I think he's in the perfect situation. Talking about Michael Robinson, he's in the perfect situation to be learning under Hafley, and especially learning behind Jaire Alexander.
Yeah, agreed. I think that Robinson is the type of guy who needs a little bit of development. I think if he's given a year or two, he can come in and be a quality player for this Packers defense. He does have the speed and athleticism to succeed in this league. I think he just needs consistent reps, and he needs to get used to the NFL level athletes, considering he did do 4 years at Furman University before coming to Tulane. So I think that just giving him some time will be the best course of action for him. And in the meantime, I think he can be a contributor on special teams.
And then finally, with the last pick for the Packers, they drafted a tackle from Cincinnati, John Williams. And he started 38 games in college. He's a solid technician, not the most athletic guy, but he's smart and tough. And those are the type of guys that you love getting in the seventh round, regardless. He's going to be a good roster spot. I mean, a roster body in camp. So hopefully he can make the roster. If not, then some other team's going to get a good guy.
Definitely agree. I think that Williams is a good player. I think that he lacks the maybe the bend or the hips to play tackle in the league. I think that he'll transition to a guard. I think that maybe his lateral quickness isn't as well as it needs to be, but I do believe he's a very solid run blocker with good awareness and a strong work ethic, and he could be a potential practice squad stash for the Packers who can come up on game day and be a quality backup if needed.
So overall, what's your take on on my team's draft?
I think that the Packers did what they needed to do. I think this is a little more of a flashier draft than I expected for the Packers, but not necessarily in a bad way. I think that they made picks that will help them in the future and picks that will help them now. And I think they had a nice mix of those guys who can come in and contribute, but guys that could also change the future. I view this as a stepping stone draft for the Packers, where if they have playoff success in the future, we will look back on this draft as a big reason why.
Yeah, and honestly, I think this is the draft that's going to define Jordan Love. If Jordan Love could take that extra step, these draft picks are going to get Gutekunst signed for another probably 10 years as our GM in Green Bay, honestly. But this all revolves around how Love develops this year. He had a kind of a slump year last year, which I expected because of teams just getting film on him. But now, since we got more weapons, we have more speed on the field, and we can exercise having him throw way deeper down the field with his arm talent. This draft is going to end up showing up as one of the best ones we had in a long time. So I definitely like this draft.
We'll see. So next you're gonna go to Detroit. So Dan Campbell and GM Brad Holmes have turned this team into legit contenders. They focus on the trenches, leadership, and culture. And this draft class just adds more gas to that fire. So let's go ahead and get into that. So with their first pick, the Detroit Lions selected Tyleek Williams, D tackle from Ohio State. How do you feel about Tyleek?
Yeah, man, Williams is a big time run stuffer. He's 6'3", 320 pounds, and he moves way better than the guy his size should. His first step quickness is impressive, and he consistently collapses the pocket in the Big Ten. That kind of explosiveness paired with his power, that's hard to find in the draft.
For sure. No, he definitely fits what Detroit wants to do in terms of scheme and style of play. I think he's an elite run stopper. He recorded a 7.8 run stop rate in 2024. He has a high football IQ and a physical presence on the D line. And I think that there's no one better to learn from than Aleem McNeil and DJ Reader on that interior. And I think that they're gonna help him harness his strengths and turn him into a very quality player.
Yeah, you got two athletic guys who can plug gaps and disrupt in both phases. Detroit was already tough to run on, but this takes them to a whole nother level. So Tyleek might not have to have the gaudy sack numbers, but his presence, along with Aleem McNeil's presence, is going to at least free up those edge guys like Aiden and all those other guys that they have. So this is definitely a pick where it's going to free up everybody else. I like this pick.
For sure, his ability to eat up double teams is definitely going to help Aiden and Aleem and DJ Reader and those guys get sacks for sure in their one-on-one opportunities. And next up, Detroit continues their theme of going to the trenches, and they go Tate Ratledge, guard from Georgia. Ratledge was a 3-year starter at the University of Georgia, where he was praised for his high football IQ and his leadership qualities. He has strong run blocking skills, and he's particularly effective in zone schemes, which is what he did at Georgia, blocking for Trevor Etienne, and which he will be doing in Detroit, blocking for David Montgomery and Jahmyr Gibbs. He does have occasional lapses in pass pro against elite interior rushers in college, but I do think that he's a plug and play starter at right guard for Detroit. So, how do you feel about Ratledge?
Yeah, again, this is another guy, another big guy. He's 6'6", 315 pounds, and he started nearly every game for the Bulldogs in the last 2 years. He's technically sound and has a nasty streak. I think it's really perfect what the Lions do in the run game. They lost Jonah Jackson to the Bears in free agency, so he fills a need with the plug and play that that's really what they need is a plug and play guy. And you know how Brad Holmes is and how much he values O-line. They got Penei Sewell, they got Frank Ragnow, and they also got Graham Glasgow. So they're just building a wall, and they're going to continue to do that and have that industrial feel that they have in Detroit, that blue collar mentality. Just got to keep going with that. I like this pick.
For sure, he definitely fits that vibe, and I think he'll fit right in with that offensive line as just road graders and maulers that you don't want to play in the fourth quarter. Next up, the Detroit Lions select a receiver from Arkansas by the name of Isaac Tesla. Tesla is 6'4", 215 pounds, and he brings an ability to be a downfield threat with reliable hands. I think that Tesla can really help the Detroit Lions in the red zone with his size at 6'4", whereas Jamison Williams and Amon-Ra aren't those contested catch guys. I believe that Tesla can be. I think he has the versatility to play inside and outside, which fits with the receivers that they have. And I think that his size and speed combination could be potentially a problem for defenses, especially as a third option.
Yeah, I think this is where the pissed off Packers fan in me comes out because you're giving them a 6'4" guy who runs a 4'4" who can also play in the slot. How many cornerbacks in the league are 6'4" in the slot? There's not many, and there's not many that's running with those type of guys in the league. So they got a mismatch option, and Jared Goff is going to have fun with this dude. So I think this is a good pick for them. I'm definitely jealous of this pick.
For sure, we'll see how he pans out. I know they've had guys such as Josh Reynolds and Tim Patrick in the past, but he seems like he could be like a super version of one of those guys, which is scary to think about.
Most definitely.
And next, in the fourth round, the Lions continue the trend of going in the trenches, offensive line. They go Miles Frazier, guard from LSU. How do you feel about Frazier?
Another old lineman with real upside. Frazier's been steady at both guard spots and barely given up any pressure in 2 full seasons. I think any NFL GM's gonna love that type of pass pro efficiency from any guy if any guy that you're trying to draft. And also, he only allowed three pressures on 1,000 snaps. So those are literally elite numbers that you're trying to get from a guy from the SEC.
Yeah, Frazier is definitely a quality player. Like you said, he's played in the SEC. He's a strong blocker, a strong run blocker, and he loves physicality, which is what Detroit loves to do. He blocked for Heisman Trophy winner Jaden Daniels and potential first-round pick Garrett Nussmeier. So he knows how to protect good quarterbacks. He knows how to keep them on their feet. So I think he'll fit in perfectly in Detroit.
And then the sixth round, they added Ahmad Hassanan. I think that's his name. But this is a guy, high motor edge rusher from Boise State. This dude's relentless. He's relatively new to the game, so he's definitely a raw canvas. But he's coming from Egypt, so he started learning the game pretty late. And he plays like his hair is on fire. Only thing I see that's needs technical refinement is his pad level and his hand usage. But his effort, it's elite. I think this guy's going to be on special teams day one, and you're definitely going to be hearing the oohs and ahs from the crowd when he starts cracking folks on special teams.
Yeah, for sure. I think that getting a guy like Ahmad definitely helps Detroit. I think that he's a project rusher. Like you said, he's still new to the game, but he also did have some production in college, having 9.5 sacks last year. So I think that shows his ability to just be naturally talented, especially still in the game, getting that amount of sacks. But we all know the NFL is a different beast. So I think he's going to have to refine his pass rush moves and just work with his D-line coaches on getting a deeper bag of tricks and just being more consistent with this pad level. But in the meantime, like you said, I think he's going to be a special teamer, and I think that he could potentially make some plays on special teams that could maybe earn him some snaps on defense. So next, we have safety Dan Jackson from Georgia. Jackson is 6 foot, 195, and he was a six-year player at the University of Georgia. He played a little bit of safety, nickel, and special teams, so it just shows his versatility. He's a smart, defendable, and adaptable player. He does lack potential athleticism to play deep safety in the NFL, but his football IQ and his ability to drive on the ball show that he is talented. How do you feel about Dan Jackson?
This is a guy, he reads routes very well. He stays locked in. Even if he doesn't have the athletic upside to make a ton of plays on the ball and against the run, he has a hard time getting off blocks too as well. And that's something he'll need to clean up if he's going to make a roster as a backup safety and a special teams guy. But other than that, I think this could be a solid camp body. But again, you want these type of guys in the seventh round to eventually make the roster. So I think this would be a solid pick going forward.
For sure. We'll see how it pans out. And continuing the trend of Georgia guys, they go with Dominic Lovett in the seventh round. Lovett is a 5'11", 190-pound receiver who's known for his explosiveness and playmaking ability. Going into the year, I thought Lovett would be a potential breakout candidate coming from Missouri and transferring to Georgia, getting on a bigger stage, playing with Carson Beck, but it just didn't work out that way. I still think he's a very talented player, and I do believe that he can potentially come to the slot and give them quality targets. He does need to work on his route running, his shorter route running, and his consistency. But at worst, I believe that he can be a slot option and a gunner maybe on special teams. So how do you feel about Lovett? Do you like the pick?
Yeah, I think this is a cool pick for them. He's twitchy, tough, and he's willing to do the dirty work, like you said, for special teams. And he's willing to do the dirty work across the middle too. He's not going to wow you with deep speed, but he understands hip leverage and he understands just reading defenses as well. And he can move the chains on a consistent basis. And like we said before with the previous picks, they're coming into rooms with guys like Amara St. Brown and Jameson Williams. So I think when you put them in rooms like that, they're going to be fine regardless. But also, you want them to be able to understand that we're coming to this offense with the mentality of how can I fit in the right way, not try to be the number one guy right away. Because, again, when you're looking at a defense, you see Amara St. Brown and Jameson Williamson. You're looking at those two guys, and you're like, all right, I'm guarding those two. Who are these guys in the middle? I don't know. I haven't seen film on these guys yet. But, again, they have the opportunity to eat. We just got to see if it's going to pan out.
For sure. Well, it'll be interesting to see who steps into that third receiver role for Detroit, whether that's Tesla or is it Lovett with the surprise. We'll see. But Overall, I think Detroit did a good job in this draft. I think that they stuck to their board. I think that they picked guys that they liked, and they didn't feel any pressure, any panic from anyone to pick somebody else. I think that they got their guys that will fit their culture and their scheme, and I think that's why you've seen such a turnaround for Detroit since Holmes and Campbell got there.
Yeah, no, I definitely think they fortified at the trenches and they took calculated shots on the athletic upside and they added depth where they needed to. So I can't really go wrong or give them a bad draft grade for this. I think it's a really solid draft all around by Brad Holmes.
For sure. Definitely agree.
And another thing I want to add too, I think they didn't really have no panic picks. Every move felt like it was made with a purpose as well. So, but other than that, that's a wrap from the GM's desk. We appreciate all the listeners, and if you enjoy listening, leave a like. And the next week episode, we'll be covering the AFC North. But until then, stay sharp and keep building. Peace.